Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side. On the Legal Side, brought to you by Private Officer International, and I'm your host, Rick McCann. Now, this show is all about the law and how it affects what we do as private security or law enforcement, retail agents, or public safety. No matter our job, the law dictates what we can and cannot do. And today, we have a very serious issue that's on the agenda. In fact, it's something that really needs to be spread far and wide because it's dealing with drugs. There are so many different types of drugs out there on the streets today, and as security and law enforcement, we're running across more and more drugs. Not only those that are prescribed by medical doctors and those that we know have been illegal for many years, such as cocaine and crack and marijuana, but now there are many homemade drugs. Just everyday chemists making up batches of pharmaceuticals to get people high. An example of that would be Molly. So as security officers and law enforcement, we're coming across these drugs more frequently on the average person, not just some drug dope dealer, not just some corner hoodlum, but people that you wouldn't expect. People who are pillars of our community, professors, law enforcement officers, firefighters, your average citizen taking drugs just to relieve the stress, just to get away from it all, just to get high for a little bit so that they don't have to deal with the reality of their life. And as private officers or sworn public officers, as we are constantly contacting the public just for routine things, whether we're talking with them about a situation they have, whether or not they've been involved in a violation or they've been breaking the law. Sometimes it's just a little contact to give a warning, and all of a sudden, you know, a little thing becomes a big thing because drugs are involved. So today, on the legal side, we want to talk about private, non-sworn security getting involved handling, confiscating, and storing unlawful, illegal drugs, and what is their authority to do so, and what is the consequences, what are the risks of taking drugs from a person and even storing them or confiscating them or even destroying them later. What is the downside for somebody who is a non-sworn officer? That's what today's episode is about. And this episode really is coming about all because of several recent situations where private security officers, and in one case, a loss prevention agent, did just that. They confiscated illegal drugs on their own and put themselves in grave dangers of being sickened by the drugs, but also they could be criminally charged and have been actually criminally charged. And so it's very important that we understand what the law allows us to do and what it does not allow us to do as non-sworn officers. And so that's what we're here today to talk about. That's what today's episode is all about. So let's begin really on the basics. as private security officers, we're patrolling and interacting and even enforcing today like never before. We often patrol large properties, apartment complexes, colleges, high schools, shopping centers, industrial, commercial, and Class A complexes where thousands of people come and go every day. We're often asked to enforce the law on the railway, at the library, at the mall. We're given the responsibility to enforce the property rules. And in doing so, we often detain people, especially if you're working in the area of law enforcement today. You know, a good LP agent will, in their own day-to-day job, if they're good, they're going to detain 20 to 30 shoplifters a month. And in a good month, I have detained 40 to 50, and that's because it was a very active store. But even if you're working in a high-end store, you're still going to grab, you know, three or four a week. You should be, anyway. And in doing so, part of the job that we do is to pat them down, have them empty their pockets, check their purses, their bags, make sure that they don't have any other stolen merchandise. So in that job, there is a good likelihood that LPAs and mall security retail officers will engage people that have some sort of illegal drug on them. And as I said in the beginning of this program, there are so many illegal drugs, so many different types of illegal drugs. It's not always easy to identify what they are or even to understand what the law is, even for a law enforcement officer. I know myself, when I was on patrol in law enforcement and even in my day-to-day patrol as a security company owner, there were several resources that was available long before the internet. You know, we had a desktop reference, which had all of the drugs. We had CDC alerts. We could call the CDC if we thought it was poisonous. We had other resources available to us that helped us to identify the pill or the particular drug. Now, sometimes illegal drugs can look just like they're over-the-counter or prescription meds. They can look just like candy these days. They can look like almost anything that's imaginable, but they're drugs. Highly potent drugs. As security officers, it is almost unheard of and unlikely that you have gone through any technical legal training to identify drugs. You may assume that something is cocaine. You may think that because it looks like crystal, that it's crystal meth. Because it's green, it must be marijuana. And so you confiscate them. You may even take that person into custody. You may detain that person. You may handcuff that person because you think they have illegal drugs, when in fact, it's not illegal at all. They're prescription, and they have a prescription for them. Or they're not drugs at all. They're something entirely different. And unless we are trained to recognize these drugs, then we could get ourselves in some serious trouble. Detaining someone unlawfully could be kidnapping. It could be unlawful restraint. We could become the defendant in a civil lawsuit for unlawfully detaining someone against their will. All because we thought that we readily identified something as an illegal narcotic when in fact it wasn't. There are many homemade drugs, Molly, MDMA, MDMA, and other drugs that are often different colors. They look like candy. They look like other medications that may not be illegal. And it's very easy for us to mistake one of them for something that it isn't. To have a private security officer, a loss prevention, or really anybody who is untrained and a non-sworn officer to take those drugs in possession, to detain someone, and maybe even destroy the supposed illegal narcotics, could cause that security officer, company, business, client, and others some serious legal consequences. It's so important in this case that if we're going to enforce the law, if we're going to do a Terry frisk, if we're going to contact people and begin to question them about what they have on them and confiscating what we believe to be narcotics, it's very important that we do our due diligence and get some real training. Not something from the internet, not something from, oh yeah, my friend's a cop, he told me to be looking for these things and they're such and such and blah, blah, blah. That's not training. It could be some good info, some good intel, some good insight, but it's not training. And I know that many security officers, myself included, come across drugs on a regular basis. All through my years in law enforcement, all through my years in security, every person that we searched or frisked potentially could have had drugs, and many did. But again, I made sure that we had some type of reference material, and that was called law enforcement. What is your authority? Many security people really do believe that they have certain authority that they just don't have. Many are trying to do a good job. Many have good intentions. But unfortunately, it's like anything else. You may have good intentions that you want to help your neighbor to install some new electrical wiring in the house, but you're not an electrician. And so you start tearing things apart, trying to put in new wiring, and you catch the house on fire. Attention, because you were not properly trained, you didn't have the proper skills, education, maybe tools, because you, trying your best, just didn't have everything necessary to do the job, you made a very costly and what might have been a deadly mistake installing those wiring. However, good intentions is not a legal defense. And that person could sue you even though you were just trying to help out. The same thing with what we do every day in protecting life and property. Just because we have good intentions, just because we're trying to do the right thing, just because we think we know what our job is and how to do it, doesn't mean that we do. And it's not a defense to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I just was trying to get that dope off the street. And so the courts don't look at that as a defense.
They say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to From the Legal Side. I'm your host, Rick McCann. Today we are talking about the unfortunate consequences that private non-sworn security officers can find themselves in if they confiscate or store drugs from suspects or individuals they find with that material. Now, the Drug Administration, the DEA, does classify various drugs in different schedules, classes, for the purpose of identifying which ones are more potent, which ones have the strongest potential for people to get hooked on them, and also it dictates what type of criminal punishment a person can face if they do illegally possess those drugs. Now, Schedule I drugs are illegal mainly because they have a very high abuse potential. There's no medical use for that, and their safety concerns exist. And some of those narcotics include heroin, LSD, cocaine, and even marijuana is included as a Class 1 drug, despite it being legal in some states. Now, I want you to be clear one thing. Even though it may be legal in certain states, like in Colorado, for instance, it's still against the federal law. You can't transport it across state lines. You can only have a certain amount in those states that have made it legal. But the federal government and the DEA still classify it as a Schedule I drug because it has no valid medical use, although some states now do believe that it does. And as you know, we have a wide problem these days with marijuana and cocaine. And also heroin really has come back with a vengeance in the last few years because it's very cheap, easy to get a hold of, the poor man's drug of choice these days. Most people shoot it up, and it really is an epidemic at this point. Schedule II drugs, the DEA classifies them as having a high potential also for abuse and dependence, and some are accepted for medical use. And these drugs include opioids, based drugs that are high dose, codeine, fentanyl. Fentanyl, especially some of the fentanyl that's on the street, can kill you just by touching it. If your body absorbs even a small amount of it, it's very, very deadly. Oxycodone, as well as meth, are all habitual drugs, Schedule II drugs. And the possession, the mere possession, can get you instantly 10 years in prison. The main difference really between that Schedule I and II is whether or not the drug is deemed to be having valid medical use or application. And so that's what separates those. So Schedule I has no legal medical use or potential, although some would argue that marijuana does. And Schedule II has some medical use, and in fact, a lot of it, like fentanyl and oxycodone, is freely prescribed to many different pains who need severe pain, many different patients who need severe pain management. A Schedule III drug, the DEA has classified that as having a lower potential for abuse than drugs in the first two categories. It hasn't accepted medical use and really a mild to moderate possible addiction. But let me tell you, any drugs, including these, can become habitual. They can have a tendency to be abused. And unfortunately, people do get hooked on them. A Schedule III includes drugs such as steroids, low-dose codeine, and hydrocodone, and various lower quantities based opioids. A Schedule IV drug in the U.S. has even a lower abuse potential, such as drugs that are used for medical use, including anti-anxiety medications, some sedatives, sleeping agents, really the mildest of the opioid type medications, like Indarvon. And those drugs, although still a felony to illegally possess, they are the lower class and Schedule 4. A Schedule 5 drug in the U.S., they have a very low abuse potential. They are accepted as medical use, and these drugs can include containing various types of narcotics or stimulants for cough, diarrhea, or pain, and are frequently prescribed to children, teens, adults alike. And you find them everywhere. So in the U.S., there are five categories of drugs. Now, the five categories that I just gave you, like I said, these are all felonies. They all have a maximum prison time. And most of the time, you're going to get 10 years right off the bat for the Schedule 1 and 2. And you could face very stiff penalties, prison time for Schedule 3 through 5 as well. As a private security non-sworn officer, it's very difficult for you to take these drugs from other people and either destroy them or hold them or lock them up once you've confiscated them, because now legally you are in possession and you don't have a defense. You can't say, "But Your Honor, I took these off from a bad guy. I took this off from a trespasser. I took this off from a shoplifter. I was holding it for the police." Because once you have possession of it, you're in possession. There's really no argument there. The law does not allow a private citizen to confiscate a drug and to store it, to lock it up in evidence, unless you are a sworn law enforcement officer. So what do you do? What should you do in these situations where you're out in the field and you come across people that do have drugs? You either frisk them for weapons, or they reveal that they have drugs, or you see them in plain view. Well, the obvious answer really is to call 911 law enforcement involved. Without their presence, without their assistance, there's just no way for you to confiscate, hold, or control that narcotic, especially a Schedule 1 through 5. And even, like I said, on it, it's a Schedule 1, so there's really no argument, no defense. You've got to get law enforcement involved. Now, it's a whole story, of course, if you're a private police officer, you have law enforcement sworn authority, and the law allows you to make arrests and sign warrants and affidavits and so forth. Now you do have a defense. Now you do have a reason, an argument, and a lawful reason to store, confiscate, destroy, or control in evidence these items for court process. If you are in a state such as South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and a few others that recognize security as deputy sheriffs or police officers while doing their job on private property, you're not a sworn officer, and you don't have any authority to confiscate those drugs because you have no authority. I know the law says you have the same authority on private property, but once you remove that narcotic, once you transport that narcotic, once you leave the property with that narcotic, you're breaking the law, a very serious felony, a federal offense. And so it's important that you get law enforcement involved. There's a lot of technology in today's world. There's a lot of ways to get assistance. The law has a lot of technicalities, and we've got to be aware of what our legal limits are, what our legal authority is, and we have to be sure that we're not crossing that line in any way, shape, or form. And that's the way to be safe on the legal side. That's going to conclude this episode of On the Legal Side. We're glad that you have been with us. Be with us later this week for the Private Officer Beat Radio. If you're not currently a member of Private Officer International, please check us out at privateofficer.org and join today. A lot of benefits, over 40 benefits for members, and a lot of assistance, free training, discounted training, a whole bunch of stuff that you're going to get just for being a member. Remember, our help desk is available 24/7 at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We have a lot of active conversations and news and information sharing going on there. Don't miss out. That's all. Till the next time, like we always say, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.